The Bracknell Town Podcast. For fans, by fans. Come on the Robins.
This is the unofficial Robins podcast. Remember to share, like, and subscribe. Now, here's your host, James the Captain Birdseye.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good from wherever you're listening from. I'm James, Captain Birdseye. It's the unofficial Robins podcast. We've got a double header for you this week. We are at home to the fantastic Hartney Whitney and then away to Chesham United, both in the Southern Premier League. And we're going to be chatting to Steve the Gaffer Whitty. We've got an interview with the fantastic captain, Dan Bayliss, and all the half-time and full-time reports, as you'd expect, here on your podcast, the Unofficial Robins Podcast. We have just got the team news out. Number one, Michael Ecott between the sticks. Fraser at two. Ethan Burden at three. Hollis at four. Captain Dan Bayliss at five. Ashley Lodge at six. Abiskin at 17. George Knight at eight. Harris at nine. 10 is Tack. And 11, Joe Grant. On the bench for us, Jack Dean, Sanders, English, Platt and Max Herbert. Come on, you Robins. Robins podcast. It's half time. Bracknell Town against Hartley Whitney. Lovely to have your company. It really is. Yes, what's the score, everybody?
3-0.
3-0. You know, I asked them what the score is. I expected a little bit of noise. I mean, a little bit of positive that Bracknell are up 3-0. But alas, not. It's all very quiet and subdued here.
Some of us forgot who we're playing.
Yeah, they're mentioning the fact that I did have a little bit of a slight error there with the opposition team. I've got Paul Pom with me. Dear Pom, what is your thoughts? I mean, it's a great result, but how are we feeling for the second half? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been really comfortable, to be honest, James. You know, they've not threatened at all. We've had most of the possession, created plenty of chances. Could easily have been sort of four or five by this point. And you know what, in the second half, it certainly will be, I think.
I agree. I mean, Bracknell just seem to be absolutely dominating the pitch. Really, really great pressure. I'm afraid Hartney Whitney just are not meeting that, really, unfortunately, at the moment. We're also... it's quite incredible here. Huge, absolutely huge attendance here. Over 500, we think. We haven't got the official figures as yet. But the queues for the bars, the queues for the tea, it's just going on and on, which is absolutely wonderful. Great atmosphere, as always, and nice to have a bit of football in the afternoon for a change. This is actually the first home game in the league, a 3 o'clock kickoff since October. Quite astounding. We're going to be back with you at full time, where hopefully it will be a very joyous result. Thank you for listening to the Unofficial Robins Podcast. It's the Unofficial Robins Podcast, and pleased to report that it is a 4-0 win to 5-0. 5-0! Oh, I get this so wrong. It's nice when you get it wrong when effectively lost count of the amount of goals. I have everybody here. Everybody. There's three people that look at me going, do not go anywhere near me with the microphone.
That's me and Paul.
But we have lovely Steve. Steve, good to have you back in the fold. You're like the long-lost prodigal son. But you're back now in the bosom that is Bracknell Town.
Yeah, I've missed a few Bracknell games, it feels like. It feels like coming home, though. And do you know what? I feel that performance was for me.
I did say to them, I said, look, Steve needs a top game. I mean, what can you say about that?
Dominant from start to finish, a game we controlled, some great individual performances, 5 goals shared around nicely as well. Ben Harris, first goal for the club, I think, in terms of this latest spell. And, well, you know, from set pieces, we just looked a threat every single time. Could have been 10. Amazing.
It really was. I mean, there wasn't even I don't know about you, dear Trump. I didn't feel there was 1 second that I was concerned that there would be anything but a very, very good victory today.
Oh, absolutely, no. I mean, we dominated from start to finish. And, you know, let's be honest, if we'd have carried on the way we were playing, we could have scored 7, 8, 9 even, you know. But you know, why put that much effort in at this stage of the season if you don't need to?
Yeah, really, really exciting stuff. And of course, you know, in terms of the league, I don't think we've changed positions, have we? But we've got a few games in hand and still very much good on the goal difference today. So fantastic. We're just looking now, actually, in the league. So, yes, lovely Poms just brought up the live league tables. So we're fifth at the moment with 19 played with 36 points. Paul are above us. They've won today at 3-0. And they're at 40 points. But they've played 22, so you know, a few games in hand, really, really very positive. Next game is Chesham away, I believe.
Yep,
Chesham away is the next game. So, what's that?
Is that Saturday?
Mm-hmm. No midweek game, which I'm going. Oh, no, well, this is the midweek game. It's Monday, isn't it?
Of course, it's Monday.
So, yeah, next Saturday, looking forward to it.
I mean, some people don't know how many goals were scored, other people don't know what day it is. It's absolutely fine. Thank you, as always, for listening to the unofficial Robins. Come on, you Robins. The unofficial Robins podcast, and it's Saturday in the league. We are at Chesham United against Bracknell Town. You've got a double header of a podcast today, two league games. Oh, very exciting. I'm with the fantastic Steve the Gaffer Witty, who has got the team sheet. And yes, so over to you, Steve.
Yeah, a couple of surprises in the team sheet today, James. Unfortunately, we've got Lodgies out injured, which is a bit of a loss. And Ben Harris, after a pretty good debut performance and a goal on Monday, he's also on the bench. But the starting 11 is Mike Leacott, Jack Dean, Ethan Burden, Fraser, Dan Bayliss, of course, captain's armband, Liam Tack, Gary Obiskun, George Knight, Mikel Platt, Daryl Saunders, and Joe Grant. On the bench, we have Cameron English, we have Harris, Herbert, Cheshire, and Usu, who I believe is on a dual registration now, because I think he played midweek for someone else, did he not?
Yeah, he did do. I'm just asking if anyone knows, actually. We'll find out a little bit later, but he definitely did play Usu this week. So we'll find that out where he definitely did play on dual reg. But this is very exciting. We shall see. What's our predictions? I know you're not a prediction man.
It's a tough old game, this one, because both teams are on form here. I think Chesham have had 15 points out of the last six games, and we've got 13 points out of the last six games in the league. It's quite a heavy pitch, so a lot of rain. So I think that's going to equalise any sort of, ball playing today. Do you know what? I'm going for a 1-1 draw, either that or a 5-1 win for Bracknell.
You always say 5-1 win. I'm going to go 2-1 to Bracknell, but it's going to be 1-1 right until the last minute, and then we're going to win it. That's our belief. We shall see, and we'll be back with you at half-time on the Unofficial Robins Podcast. Unofficial Robins Podcast. It's half-time at Chesham United FC. A very, very busy first half. I'm with Steve the Gaffer Witty. It's 1-1. 1-1 so far, but it shouldn't be, really, should it? It should be a bit higher. A bit of a dodgy penalty decision, we think, by the assistant referee, we felt, really.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. I think, you know, they're two equally matched sides here, but the first half has been dominated by the referee. A penalty for their first. Mike Leacott just got a hand to it, but couldn't quite keep it out. We then got a penalty. And I've got to say, one of the strangest decisions I've ever seen, where the linesman, after a sort of delay, disallowed the penalty scored by Mikel Platt for, I think he touched it with his standing foot before he then kicked it. I've just had a look on a video replay that someone's got, and I can't see it, but, you know, well, maybe it's me. And then we then came back very quickly, a couple of minutes after that. Beautiful, beautiful ball in from Joe Grant. And we scored to make it 1-1. A couple of other penalty shouts as well. I saw one that I thought Mikel Platt was shoved in the back. Referee in a really good position. No idea why he didn't give it. Yeah, I think he's dominated it. But look, it's a really entertaining game.
Absolutely. It's a very entertaining game. And thank goodness that we're not 1-0 down after that decision. It's 1-1. Obviously, we'll go and have a look at the replays a little bit closer later on, which you're going to go and hear in our sort of end of match analysis a little bit later. But yeah, we're going to be back with you at full time on the unofficial Robins podcast. It's full-time here at Chesham United, and it's Chesham 2, Bracknell Town 1. Unfortunately, a defeat for Bracknell in the league. The guys are coming over now. The rain is absolutely pouring here. Lots of effort, particularly in the last few minutes, including a very, very close... very close chance, but unfortunately it just wasn't to be. It wasn't to be tonight. But a huge effort for them all, as the captain is kindly clapping us. George Nice. Wonderful game for Michael, including a fantastic save.
Brilliant, Michael.
I'm with Steve the Gaffer Witty. That unfortunate result. There is definitely lots to talk about, which we will do later, Steve, including some very questionable decisions, I'm afraid, from the officials this afternoon. But disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing. You could hear that that little chant for Joe Grant at the end there. He's inconsolable. Look, we should have got a point out of this. Joe had one chance clear through that he blazed over the bar, and a header literally in the last dying seconds that just grazed past the post. And you can see what it means to him. Look, it's a shame, this, a defeat. Two really well-matched teams. We'll talk later about the refereeing. My God, he's... well, from my view, he shouldn't be refereeing at this level. Very, very poor. But look, 2-1, all respect to Chesham. We move on to the Cup next Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, it's something that we don't like doing, criticising officials. But I'm afraid right across the board, including the assistant referee, very, very disappointing decisions. And of course, we're going to be back with you in a shake of a lamb's tail on the unofficial Robins podcast.
Right, here we are. Nice, windy, nice and dark now. The floodlights have gone out. A disappointing 2-1 defeat against Chesham. I'm here with club captain Dan Bayliss. Dan, I suppose a disappointing result, but what's your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough one to take, conceding so late as well. You know, set pieces, defending set pieces and attacking set pieces is something we kind of pride ourselves on. So it's just, you know, disappointing to concede from one. We felt we deserved at least something from the game. You know, we said in the changing room, those are the kind of the games that we've got to get something from, whether it be a draw, whether it be a win. But, you know, the beauty of it is I think we've got about 8 games in January. So, you know, we've got Bath in the FA Trophy next weekend, which is a good, nice escape from the league. But like I say, we've got games in hand, and we've got plenty of games in January to make up for it. So.
Yeah, agreed. And we've got to talk about your club mate here, Joe Grant. You can see he was in the shave of a post, I think he was there. I can see he was devastated at the end. What a player for us.
Oh, yeah, you know... We said at the end, he's since he's come back, you know, bearing in mind he's been out for a year as well, I think he's been one of our best players. You know, he gives everything on the pitch. He bleeds Bracknell. You know, he's Bracknell through and through. So, yeah, we're all gutted, you know, Grant especially. But like you say, he will win us games remainder of the season. He already has probably won us games already. So we need to get around him, get around each other, and like I say, put it right next weekend in the trophy, and then back to the league next Tuesday, I think it is.
Yeah, and what's your thoughts, what's your hopes for this season? Do you think we've still got a chance at the title, or do you think it's playoffs? What's your view?
To be honest, we don't, as a school, we don't really like to look too far ahead. You know, obviously it's nice to have a look, but our main focus is the next game at hand, and that is the trophy. You know, we had a great run in the FA Cup, we're on a good run in the trophy as well, so we're just taking it game by game. We're just the next game that's in front of us is the most important one, so hopefully a big win in the trophy on Saturday.
No, absolutely fantastic. Well, as fans, what we want is we want playoffs and Wembley, please, if that's okay. But look, thanks for your time, Dan. Well done today, please.
Brilliant again.
Cheers, bye bye.
It's the unofficial Robins podcast with me, James Captain Birdseye, and this chap, Steve the Gaffer Witty. How the devil are you, Steve-o?
Very well, James. Very well, and it seems a very long time since I was last on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been a busy old time. Everyone's been ill, haven't they? We've all had this horrendous cold, which, yeah, technically is not COVID, but it felt like it, that's for sure. Really, really, really tricky. Really tricky. But we've been back at it, which is good. And we've got two league games to talk about, which is quite rare for us. But two games tonight. So Hartney Whitney in the league at home, and of course yesterday's game away to Chesham United. So a very packed. Packed edition tonight. So, right, let's, without further ado, let's talk about Hartley Whitney.
Well, I've got to say, James, it is a difficult one, this, isn't it? Because Hartley Whitney had all the goals, okay? 5-0 victory, didn't we do well? Okay, but actually...
It was odd.
So, but... Let's start, as you quite rightly say, let's start with the Hartley Whitney game. I've got to say, it felt like really teams from two different divisions.
It did, didn't it? And I think that's the thing, is it is very difficult to comment on. And of course, it's absolutely wonderful to have a position where we win a game, you know, with that convincingly. It's absolutely fantastic. But I'm afraid... it just felt like they really didn't turn up, really.
Yeah. They couldn't cope with us. We were, you know, we had Guy who was really throwing some great long balls in. Our corners were excellent. We had Ashley Lodge pretty much dominating the middle of the park. They were unfortunate. They had a young goalkeeper. I think it was his second game.
Mm.
He didn't quite dominate his area, did he? I think he struggled. With the presence of our team and how would I say that physical challenge we provide from the dead ball positions and they tried their best, they huffed and puffed, but it probably wasn't a surprise to see the goals go in really for us.
And actually, I would go as far as to say that. Five goals. I think it could have even been more. Actually, it was sort of a position by the end that there was at no point did I not feel that we were going to win and win very, very convincingly.
It's a bit of a shame because I think when we went to Hartley Whitney, and that was when we'd done the walk to their ground, if you remember correctly.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
It was they were a very big, very physical team, and I've got to say, you know, they put themselves about. It was a very untidy 2-1 victory for us, but it was a tough game. This one, it looks like they've had quite a rotation of players. Of course, they've got a new manager in terms of Ian Selly.
And it
felt a little bit like it was a team in formation. Well, a team in creation more than anything. They struggled really to put any imprint into the game. I hope for Ian Selly's sake that, you know, I would say they sort of get some strength in and hopefully push on a little bit, because I could see them potentially being there for one of the teams for relegation if they're not careful.
I completely agree. It did very much feel like that was a likely scenario. Where they were playing. So very best of luck to them. I mean, obviously they are very close in terms of location wise for us. So we would, we wish them all the very best, and just sort of hope that maybe things do improve for them
Absolutely, absolutely. So should we go on to the Chesham game? Because I think that's the one everyone wants to listen about.
I think so. Yeah, so let's
talk about it.
So much to talk about. And obviously you've been listening to the sort of halftime and all the things that have gone on. I mean, not just the situation with the goals, but also the officiating. It was just a very busy day, really. Mm-hmm. A very, very busy day.
No, it absolutely was. Absolutely was. And these were, look, two teams that I'm going to say going for playoff places. I think Western are starting to streak away a little bit at the top, and they do look, you know, two teams that are both on form. We've got to remember we hadn't lost in 2 months, I don't think, since we last lost a game.
No, indeed.
And, you know, both teams on a good run of form. And, you know, we win our games in hand. Interestingly enough, we go pretty much level with them on points. So it was all to play for. I think the downside a little bit for us, I think when we all looked at the team sheet, we could see we had a couple of key people missing. Guy, of course, who started his suspension now. Ashley Lodge pulled out just before we kicked off. I think he got an injury. I think he got a knock from the last game, didn't he?
He did, I think. So Guy Hollis, is he out for 4 games?
Because he's got 4 games.
He could be, normally it would be 3, but I believe he got a red or a suspension when he was with Slough. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely it. So there's a bit of a compound there, which means he gets the extra game. Of course, we've still got Jordan.
He tells me that
we should be back in training in the next week or so.
And
Ben Harris, who made a scoring home debut against Hartley Whitney, was also suffering from a knock, hence why he was on the bench. And of course, we've still got Adam Richards out, who, you know, is, you know, I would put him in the first team fold. Absolutely. He's had quite a long injury now, but hopefully I think he's got a couple of weeks and he should be coming. But, you know, that's, you would argue that pretty much every single one of them players would be in or around the first team squad. So we were weaker than we would normally have been.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's indeed the case. And I think we've got to be fair to that. So when we came out, I think for me, the first 20 minutes, there was a lot of pressure, actually, that we were putting under. I think it felt maybe we had the game positively then.
Yeah, look, I think it was a very physical battle. You could see it. You know, they're a well-organised team, Chesham, and you can see why they're up there in the league. You know, they've got no real weaknesses across their squad. You know, they all know their place. They're quite physically strong. They had some good possession, I thought, in that first 20 minutes. We were very dangerous, though, in regards to our pace. You know, when we did break, we looked like we could create something. What I would say the first 20 minutes did show me, though, the first of a few odd refereeing decisions. He seemed to be a ref that was sort of influenceable. You know, there were some really strange sort of free kicks and some decisions going the wrong way. When Jack Dean actually slid on the edge of the box and gave away the penalty, that was a correct decision, by the way. Absolutely. I've seen it on video. He absolutely did take the man out. No idea what he was doing sliding in from there, but...
A penalty.
So he got that one right, but for them, that was for them to go 1-0 up. Bit unlucky with Ecott, I thought. I don't know what you thought. I thought he just reached, he guessed the right way.
Yes, it looked like he got a hand to it. But it was a good strike and, you know, very difficult. I agree with you, actually. That was a penalty. And that was the right decision. And we'll obviously talk more about the officiating as we go on, but for me, it was quite bizarre, really, because it felt like that both the referee and the assistant referee at one point as well were very much, as you say, influenced by all the it tended to be the Chesham players rushing over, which just seems really quite bizarre. Because this obviously happens at football. Our team or any team will be, you know, trying to influence the referee's decision. But we don't really expect that to work. And it really did work for Chesham yesterday, which seemed very unfair, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he was uncertain. I'm not sure what level this referee had played at previously, but he looked like a man who was very nervous from the off. Let's go straight on to that penalty. You know, it was once again interesting enough, it was someone who slid in on Jack Dean unnecessarily. So it was Jack Dean slid in on the other end. This time someone slid in on Jack Dean. Definite penalty, no doubts at all about it. I think Mikel Platt stepped up and took it. I've watched it now 20 times on video, still can't see what's wrong with it. But what I found very odd is he scored it into the top corner. The referee awarded the penalty, point went to run away. Okay. The keeper also threw the ball in towards the centre circle. So clearly he didn't see anything. Okay. The linesman himself turned to go the other way, but the Chesham players ran towards the referee. And the next thing as we saw is he went over to the linesman. The linesman, interestingly enough, after the game, actually said it was the referee who made the decision. It wasn't the linesman.
Oh.
But interestingly enough, the referee had clearly given the goal, so he didn't think there was anything wrong at the time. He must have been influenced. And it was just obscure. And even now, I don't know how many times I've watched it. No doubts at all. I can see he crosses over his legs as he kicks it. And I can see it looks like he scuffs his foot across the ground. But I just can't see why that wasn't awarded. And
But scuffing your foot foot across the ground is not in any way a problem. As we know, it's quite clear. It's a double kick. If there's a double kick, fine. If there isn't, you know. And this, for me, I totally agree with you. Surely it would have been a position where the keeper... And definitely the referee's position as well, would have been instantly going and saying, oh, there's a problem. But at no point did us as fans go and look and think, oh gosh, or maybe that's a double kick. Oh gosh, are we going to get awarded this? It looked as a very normal penalty and a very good taken penalty as they come, really.
Yeah, and I think, do you know what? I still, to this moment, think the referee thought, but he was then influenced by the Chesham players. And disappointing. The good news is, okay, straight away, you could see we were straight at it, and I think it was literally just gone beautifully down the flank. What a beautiful ball in.
Stunning
ball in. And what a finish.
Yeah, it was absolutely magnificent, that strike. And that, I think if we didn't have that, I think we really, really would have been aggrieved, actually.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And you know, I think the first half was very even. I think I think you could argue that, you know, we had probably the better chances in the half. What I would say, a couple of real comments about our play. I think we missed the front man. I've got a lot of time for Mikel Platt. I've got a lot of time. I've got a lot of time for him as a person. I think when he's good, he's great. But he's really got to make a decision for himself. If he is a front, if he is a centre,
like,
and we're playing with a number 10 and two wide men who are good at whipping the ball in, he's got to play off the last man. Either that, he just plays too deep. He's always... You know, how many times did we get the ball in great, great wing positions and they're having to cut inside because there's no one to knock the ball into.
Were cutting inside every single time.
Because there was literally no one. And I would say the same as well, a bit frustrated for Gary. I'm not sure what it is. Gary is a really, really skillful player. Okay. But for some unknown reason, our team seemed to stop and watch him when he's got the ball. And Jack Dean, I don't think I saw him overlap once. Okay. I don't think I saw Taki make a single run. Okay, and he was playing almost as an attacking midfielder as well. They seem to stop and watch him, and he has to do so much work. He has to beat three or four men to create something.
Exactly, and there was quite a few occasions when we were literally sort of shouting, you know, give him some options, support him, and just didn't feel that support was there, unfortunately.
Yeah, and genuinely, and you know, and it's nitpicking a little bit, but you know, when we play the formation we do, we need a focal point up front. We need someone on the last defender. And we've got to realise when we've got that pace down the flank, okay, we should see runners from the midfield, you know, breaking and trying to create space and options, rather than, how would I say, watching, which is what it felt like. But let's just say it, you know, we done well. I thought second half we came out well as well, and I thought we dominated for, 25 minutes?
Yes, yeah, a good 25 minutes when we felt, okay, that something is going to happen here. We're either, hopefully going to get the point or a position where we get 3 points, in fact.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we all felt relatively confident. You know, did we have... There was one where we'll talk about the referee again. Well, I think the first half, actually, Mikel Platt clearly pushed over. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely blatantly. Their players all threw their hands up and went dive, dive, dive. And the referee sort of walked away. And I thought, well, what was that about?
Well, what we were saying behind the goal, and it was just an absolutely fantastic point, which one of our fans who's been there, you know, is very... been a fan for a very long time and very, very good at these things, made an absolutely excellent point, which was, well, book him. So yeah. Book him for simulation. So it's one or the other. It's either a penalty or you decide, as an officiate, you decide, well, that person's simulating. That's not acceptable. Have a yellow card. But what you can't do is nothing. So it's quite simple. It's one or the other. And naturally, if it was a position where he got booked, he got booked for simulation, you know, we would have been shouting and whatever. But there would at least be a decision. The idea of just sort of walking off and allow play to continue whilst he was flat on the floor just seemed utterly bizarre.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think it's a really good point. It's a really good point. And I think it was a sign of, you know, so many decisions like that right the way throughout the game. What I would say, by the way, he also got a lot of decisions wrong in the second half, which actually were in our favour as well. He gave free kicks to us when they should have been for Chesham. You know, there was some real obscure decisions. But, you know, look, it is what it is. It is what it is. I would say, look, second half, yeah, I think we came out well. We were the better side. I would, you know, I think Joe Grant will be devastated, okay, by that one chance where he knocked it over. Mm. But you could argue, look, that also could have been a penalty because just as he was striking it, the keeper caught him.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah, it was, and I felt it was a penalty at that point as well. Because it was definitely straight. I mean, it wasn't as clear cut as some of the other incidents in the game, but absolutely, it could have been argued for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then look, there was a little period of pressure. I think we went a little bit to sleep. I think it was Mikel Platt left his man. I think Taki, from what I can see of the replay, looked like he didn't follow the runner as well. Before you know it, there it was in near post, knocked it into the bottom corner. 2-1 up. Chesham, well, they went wild. I don't know if you saw Sam Besant, their keeper, ran to the halfway line and was sliding along on his knees. That's how much it meant to them.
You know, for them.
You know, not only was it 3 points, but they'd realised they'd been in a battle. And I don't think, you know, I think they were at that stage thinking of holding on for a point rather than getting all three. But look, it was a good goal. We then livened up a little bit and could have still won it again in the depth. A corner in. Joe Grant again, he got his head to it. Great leap. I thought it was in, but it wasn't. It went just past the post.
It went just past the post, didn't it? And we were sort of heads were in hands at that point. Yeah.
And you actually heard it, and it sounds a bit strange. You know, Sarah was laughing, not for the reason that it was, but it was just a case of what do we need to do to score here? And we saw that in Joe Grant's face at the end, that the guy was devastated. You know, he thought that not only should he have got a point, but 2 points. He had two really good chances.
No.
You've got to be in the position to do it. I don't think in any way whatsoever. I thought he was close to man of the match. Thought he played really well, particularly second half.
I absolutely agree. And again, for me, there was nothing really that, in terms of our performance generally, that I would say there was any, you know, huge concerns really at all. I think the team were playing very well, as we've marked on some of those nitpicky things that we've seen as fans. But you know, wonderful as always. As soon as the whistle did go, they all came over, clapped us all, which is just so kind. And also got to say about the fantastic goalkeeper for...
He's
for
a good Chester. lad, Sam Besson, isn't he? He's a good lad.
Yeah, it was just wonderful. And, you know, he went and shook all our hands, really nice, of which the chaps from Taskmaster... went and tweeted me today and replied to my tweet about that, which was very good. They were there, if you've seen that Channel 4 comedy programme. But yes, one thing we do have to talk about, obviously it's been a loss. We weren't overly happy with the officiating, but it's happened now.
All respect to Chesham. Let's
yes,
say that.
Yes.
All respect to them. I like Chesham. I think nice fans.
Nice
people.
Nice.
I think it's just, you know, and all respect to them, I really hope they do well this season, genuinely. So I've got nothing against them. They've battled well. It could have gone either way, that result. They've scraped past, got 3 points. Look, we'll see them in the playoff final.
Well, yes, that would work, wouldn't it? That would work. Now, there was a bit of a concern, wasn't there, which we're a little bit confused about, of quite a serious matter, actually. That allegedly, we did hear that there was potentially a complaint that's going to be made by the official. And a very sort of serious issue, really. That allegedly the officials or some person went and heard from Bracknell fans allegedly a homophobic comment. Now, this is something that, you know, we were extremely upset to hear that this has been alleged, and I don't know about you, Steve, but I didn't hear anything of the sort, and never have, actually.
No, James, I think as fans, don't get me banter. Occasionally get on wrong decisions or players that don't do things right, but homophobic comments are nothing. The only thing I can think of is one of our fans did shout out, "Linesman, you're a homer," which he means by, okay, in other words, you're supporting the home team here by some of his decisions.
Right.
Okay. I did hear that being shouted once, by the way, but he was talking about, in other words, you're for the home team. I'm wondering if that was misheard, but I can promise you one thing, okay, I've never heard anything homophobic, racist, or anything you might have heard behind the goal in a Bracknell game in my life, okay, I'm 100% certain I didn't hear it on Saturday either.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and you know, and I'm part of the LGBTQ community myself, and you know, I can just say how I feel at Bracknell, and I felt nothing but welcomed, supported, and you know, and I can totally be the person who I am. And you know, that's not something that, you know, I often share because there's no need to share it. But I just kind of felt within this kind of context, it was appropriate, and you know, as a club, I think that we have a deep sense of right or wrong. And, you know, we would call that out. I'm quite sure anything that was a protected characteristic, you know, and when we had the issue with a certain goalkeeper who was a little bit upset that we commented on his hair. That is not a protected characteristic. And, you know, that was a bit of a shame. But, you know, it is to say, we know the difference between banter and something that's unacceptable. And I'm quite sure that if that was the case, that is probably what happened. But we will see if anything does come of that. But bit of a sad situation. But we thought that was important to talk about, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think absolutely. Should we talk? So next on then, what have we got?
We've got a slightly
important cup game, haven't we?
Yes. Well, you know, we're aiming to get to Wembley, so you know we're gonna have to do this, and we're gonna have to do quite well. It's Bracknell Town against Bath. The beautiful Roman city of Bath coming to Bracknell. So I dare say they will be very clean before coming. Looking forward to that in a big way.
It's going to be a tough old game. It's going to be a tough old game. Tough. So I know we've beaten, three National League South teams this season, but Bath City knocked out last year's winners, Bromley. It's not going to be any pushover, these guys. So I think it's going to be a really tough ask for us. Fingers crossed we can get a bit of atmosphere behind the boys, okay, get a good turnout and hopefully as well get a couple more players back fit as well. I know that Ben and Guy, I think, will be suspended anyway. Cup tied.
Yeah.
I don't think Jordan will be back for the game. Fingers crossed Ashley Lodge will, but look, it's going to be a tough old ask that. And then what have we got the following Tuesday? Got a bit of a short trip round the corner, haven't we?
Yes, yeah, just round the corner for Tuesday. I had one of those moments at a little bit of a freeze. I can't see who we playing Tuesday.
Truro.
It's Truro. Oh yes. It's not the Tuesday. It's a Wednesday.
Is it a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday. That's why you got me worried there for a second, because yes, I'm going to that as are you. So we love a midweek game that's in somewhere that's a long way away. But yeah, it's Truro play in Plymouth, so by the sea, a long way. So we're staying for that one. If you do want details of that, where we're staying and such like, then contact us on the Facebook page. But yeah, I'm sure there won't be that many of us there, but we will be there with unofficial Robins. I'm going to look as well at the potential of if there is commentary at the game and what we're going to do, and if there isn't, we might be able to possibly do something. So we're looking at that, because there's not going to be many people that will obviously be able to go to the other side of the country midweek. So we're going to see what we could do with that. But yeah, very, very exciting. And I mean, if we can go and get a result or a draw there, it would be just an absolute joy, wouldn't it? I mean, to Truro having such a fantastic season.
Yeah, agreed, you know, and I think that's it, you know. But if we could beat Bath and we could beat Truro, and then another tough game, of course, we've got Hayes away after that, and they're on a bit of a run of form as well at the moment.
Hayes nearly on the 21st,
and that'll be a, you know, that's a tough run of fixtures. But look, I think let's take one game at a time. I think that's what Dan Baylister said. But I'm not sure if you noticed when I had a few words with him that basically said, come on then, what do you want from the season? What do you think we're after? And quite rightly, being the diplomat he always is, one game at a time. And I think the one game at the time is, let's stuff Bath City and then we'll worry about Truro afterwards, yeah?
Yeah, you know, that's small club. of a full city. Yeah, it'd be fine. It'd be fine. But it's been wonderful, and these cup runs have been absolutely, absolutely great. And there's no reason why we can't. It's been some fantastic results, and all credit to the team and the management team as well. So excellent stuff. Well, it's been wonderful chatting as always, Steve. We'd love to have your views as well. Make sure you let us know, Unofficial Robins. There's also the Unofficial Robins Facebook page as well. You can do a search for that, Bracknell Town. Yep, Bracknell Town Facebook page. That's very easy. Just go and join that. Doesn't matter if you can't come to games, if wherever you are, as long as you're a non-league fan, welcome aboard. The other thing I thoroughly recommend is Mattitude. Check him out on YouTube. He does very good vlogs from the game. And now, of course, the Bracknell Town TikTok. Now I've got the Bracknell Town TikTok account as well, and Instagram, so all the socials, and you can keep following your team of Bracknell Town. I think that's pretty much it, isn't it? I don't think we've got anything else to add, really, Steve. So it's Tarsal from here.
All I would say is, heads not down, Bracknell. That was a reasonable performance on Saturday. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on, absolutely
we move on, and we're the Robins, so come on you Robins.
Good night,
ciao for now. Good night. We all follow the Robins.